Hi, my name is Catherine Mayfield, and I'm the author of Emma's Gift, Furry Friends Through Many Lifetimes. This is a memoir about my lifelong obsession with cats, and about one cat in particular who helped me learn more about myself and find out what it felt like to be loved. This is from Chapter 1, Who's in the Dresser? The first time I saw Emma, I was heading up the front steps to my apartment, and I noticed a sweet little face poking out between the curtains in the apartment next door. A small gray tabby head with thin black stripes and a perfectly white chin and chest blinked its beautiful green eyes in my direction. I felt like I was in a time warp. 8 months earlier, I had lost Skippy, my beloved gray tabby, to cancer, and the loss of a beloved pet had prompted my move to a new living space. Pointed ears standing straight up, the little gray tabby looked directly at me, as if she knew me. I felt as if I was looking at Skippy in a kitten's body. I felt a shock of recognition. We stared at each other for a few moments before she disappeared behind the curtains with a whoosh, like a diva after a curtain call. I saw her now and then when I came home. When the curtains were open, an elderly yellow cat could be seen stretched out on the back of the couch in the sun. His ears looked like they'd been injured in a fight because they were ragged and shortened to within half an inch of his head. I began to look forward to sharing a flirting glance or two with the little gray tabby when I came home. Eventually, I could get within a few feet, and we would stare at each other through the glass. I never saw her there when the curtains were open, only when she had the protection of them around her body. As I developed a peekaboo relationship with my neighbor's kitty, I began to think about getting another cat, but the universe had something else in mind. One day, one of the other residents mentioned that the woman across the hall from me, who I'd only met a few brief times in the hallway, had been taken off to jail a few days earlier for driving under the influence and was being held pending investigation of outstanding parking tickets. I thought about the cats in her apartment and called the landlord to ask if he would check on the cats to make sure they were being fed. A really nice guy, he invited me to have a look to soothe my worries before he hung up. When he opened the door to the neighbor's apartment, he took one look around and said, "I would rather let the cats go free than leave them here." There were cigarette butts everywhere, and cartons of half-eaten takeout food from days or weeks before had been left on counters and tables. Everything was a mess, and the place smelled like a garbage dump. At least the cats were being fed. There was a huge bag of dry cat food in the center of the kitchen floor, and it had been ripped open, so it spilled everywhere. The yellow cat smiled up at us from his place on the sofa, but the small gray tabby was nowhere to be seen. My stomach churned as my nose wrinkled at the smell, and my heart broke at seeing animals living in a place like this. I couldn't imagine they were very well cared for if the apartment looked like this. "I'm going to call the SPCA," the landlord said. "This isn't right." He pointed at the yellow cat with the stubby ears. "Look at his ears. He had ear mites that were never taken care of." My hands itched to reach for the cats and protect them. I couldn't bear the thought of a sad ending at the SPCA for either of the cats, not to mention the owner's grief at coming home to find them gone. "How about this?" I suggested. "Why don't I take the cats across the hall to my place and take care of them until Sally gets back? I'll leave her a note and let her know that I have them." "That's a great idea," he said. "Anything to get them out of here." I believe in providence. Sometimes synchronicity is so amazing that I have to believe there is some kind of intelligence in the universe. Standing in the middle of that apartment, I felt as if the universe had suddenly dropped a huge gift in my lap. And I had no idea why, because I knew I couldn't keep the cats. I would have to give them back to the owner when she returned. I scooped up the yellow cat, who began purring loudly and pushing his face into my hand. He was a total lover boy. The landlord said, "Just close and lock the door when you're done. I'm going to come and talk to her when she gets back. This place is filthy." He left, shaking his head, and trotted down the hall stairs as I took the yellow cat across the hall to my apartment, and put him on a towel on the sofa. When I went back for the little tabby, I searched the living room, the kitchen, the bathroom, and the bedroom. I looked in closets and cabinets, expecting to discover a small tabby face behind each door. Nothing. I checked under the bed. I checked behind all the curtains. I couldn't find her anywhere. Could she have escaped when we came in? I was in the kitchen when I heard a soft thump from the bedroom. As I walked slowly in, I noticed that one of the dresser drawers was open, clothes spilling out. As I stepped closer, I heard another soft thump at the back of the dresser. I bent to gently pull the drawer out, and the little tabby streaked across the floor and disappeared into the bathroom. Moving slowly and crooning softly, I went into the bathroom and shut the door. I checked the corners, the bathtub, the closet, nothing. The only hiding place left was the cabinet under the sink. The door was closed, but it hung slightly off the hinges. I carefully opened it, and there, huddled way at the back of the cabinet, was the little gray tabby, scrunched painfully into the corner with a miserable look on her face that clearly said, "Please don't hurt me." Apparently, she had opened the cabinet door and got inside and then let the spring-loaded hinge shut it behind her. I wondered why she was so good at hiding and why she was so afraid. I knew just what it was like to feel so terribly frightened, to think the world could come crashing down at any moment. A memory of huddling on my bed in fear as a child flashed in front of my eyes, and I blinked it away. I felt an almost instant bond with this little kitty, huddled in the back corner of the cabinet, staring at me with fear and sadness. She roused my caretaking instincts to the highest degree. I slowly held my hand out to her so she could sniff my fingers. She pulled back. I gently shut the cabinet door and left the bathroom, shutting the door behind me. Back in my apartment, I went to my fridge and pulled out some deli turkey. She was obviously either a feral cat or had been mistreated in some way. I instinctively knew I had to make friends with her before I uprooted her from her home and took her to a new place. I hummed softly as I walked back into my neighbor's apartment. When I held out the turkey, the little tabby flinched, and then her eyes opened wide as she smelled it. After a quick look at me, she gobbled it down. Another piece, another look, more gobbling. All the time I was crooning softly. Eventually her body began to relax. And after a while, the turkey had a soporific effect and her eyes began to blink sleepily. To my surprise, when I put my hands around her and began gently pulling her out, she just went limp, as if she knew when she was conquered. I wondered if she'd been passed around from hand to hand during the noisy parties I'd heard across the hall. I gathered her to my heart, nudged the door shut, and left, locking the door behind me. With all my heart, I wanted to help her feel safe and protected, to give her the safety I'd never had as a child. I wanted to give her the space to begin feeling cared for and comfortable with life in ways that I'd never had the opportunity to experience myself.